I'm going to start this thing off by really sharing what I feel is happening here. And I'm not prophesying or anything, but I just feel it, that God is going to do a work here.
Right.
And we better be ready for it. So if we're just sitting back waiting for God to do it, it's not going to turn out the way He wants.
Right.
You know, He could come in here and do whatever He wants, and I'm talking about our church out here and our church body, but I'm also talking about Myrtle Creek,
right?
And I'm talking about Douglas County.
Yes, sir.
Janice and I moved here about 6 years ago, and from Eugene. We're out of there. We moved here. We escaped. I don't want to sound negative, but I just feel a heaviness in this area. You know, we hear about people struggling all the time. Drugs are everywhere. I mean, everywhere. They're not just Myrtle Creek, but that's part of it. But I think God wants to revive and bring in a revival.
Right.
And so is that just us? You know, I kind of wondered who was going to show up tonight. And this is kind of common for Sunday nights. But I hope you take this and run with it.
Right.
And do something with it. Here's my... I think I underlined this thing. And this is my title here. As I watch the church grow spiritually and physically, I'm aware of the responsibility the Lord is placing on us as the body of Christ.
Right.
And you get that word, responsibility? Responsibility for what? Luke 12:48 says, "To whom much is given, much will be required." And we kind of skip over that because we like the "much is given" part. And then it goes on to say, "much is required." So what does that mean? Is that, you know, do I just go to church? Do I sing a few songs and go home? I think there's more to it. I've heard this saying that with great power comes great responsibility. And as a body, and I can see it in this particular body, we're blessed with talents, we're blessed with wealth, knowledge, time, and we're expected to use these. And you know, all the talents that we have, we're expected to use them for God's glory, right? So as we go through this, think about what God has laid on your heart. What is maybe latent in there that is not being fed right now for one reason or another. We kind of talked about it a little bit in our Friday night thing that shame comes into play. You know, we have an unction about what we should be doing, but here comes shame that says, you know, if you do that and you fail, everybody's going to know it and you're going to be a loser just like everybody says. So you never step out. And that's our theme for Friday night. Being bold. Going for it. Okay? And in that context, in Luke 12:48, it was Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said, he told that parable, and he says, and Peter, right after this, is really interesting. After Christ said that, "To whom much is given, much will be required." And here's Peter. The next thing out of his mouth is that just for me or is that for everybody? And I was trying to feel his heart. Does he feel like he's being picked on? Like, I'm just talking to you, Peter? Or does he say, is that for everybody? And the answer, the Lord really didn't answer, but he gets to it. And he says, yeah, it is for everybody. Jesus replied with another parable in which he defines the faithful and wise manager. As one who gives out food, here's some ideas, some food and other allowances at the proper time, when the master returns and finds the faithful servant managing his resources well, he putting him in charge of all his possessions. That's in Luke 12:42-44. Are you getting the feeling here? So whatever you have, you want to be a good steward over. So that when Christ comes to call on you, what are you doing with your resources? Are you hoarding them? Are you not doing anything with them? I think that's just as bad. So we've been entrusted with certain things, and faithfulness requires that we manage those things wisely and unselfishly. Jesus continues the parable by contrasting the good servant with the unfaithful servant. And if you've read that part, I'm not even going to read it tonight because it's harsh. Read that. It's in 44 through 47 of Luke 12. It's very descriptive of what happens to the guy that's not doing what he's supposed to be doing when the master comes back. Then the Lord summarizes the point of the parables with these words. For everyone whom much is given, from him much will be required. Circle that. And to whom much has been committed, of him they'll ask even more. You getting the drift of where this is going? This is in the Bible for a reason. For us to ponder and look at and go, okay, this is how I'm supposed to manage my life.
Right.
Catch the word required?
Right.
You know, I read that word and... I put in, well, he's just suggesting that I do this. Or it's just a thought. You know, hey, just give it a shot and see if it works. He's saying this is required. So, now let's go back to the question Peter asked. Luke 12:41. Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? What do you think? It's everybody. He's telling this to everybody. And that's why we get back to what I was talking about initially is I really feel like we need to get ready. Because the Lord is talking to everybody.
Yeah.
If I'll get to my little picture here in a little bit, but the Lord is bringing people in. I don't know where they're at. They could be in Germany. They could be in Australia. They could be in Eugene. But they're coming here. Because this is a light. And God's going to do something different here. I just know He is. Now, as much as I've talked to people that have lived here all their life, I've heard this heaviness word a lot. That there's a heaviness here. And I don't know I know what it is, but I don't know why people put up with it. But God wants to bring light into this place. He wants to bring revival. And not just, you know, I hear that word. I just picture somebody getting up out of their chair and going, man, their shackles are off.
Amen.
I'm ready to live now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I see so many people walking around just heavy. What was the Peanuts cartoon? The kid with a cloud over his head?
No.
It was one of them. But wherever he went, he had a black cloud over his head. And everybody knew, you know. Who? Pigpen. He's just like, how are you going today? Oh, boy.
Eeyore.
and Eeyore. So, is this a warning for just the wealthy, for just the chosen few, or just the people who have been given much? Here's 1 Peter 4:10. I think I got that one, don't I? Yeah. As each one has received a gift, minister it one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So all the gifts that you have and I don't know what your gifts are. Be ministering one to another with them. If it's a gift of calling somebody up in the middle of the day and ask them how they're doing, that's your gift. Do it. We had a guy here that used to go to church here for a while, and he was just so good about that. He would call and he would go. He was just trying to get everybody to call and go with him to go check on people, see how they're doing. There's people, we've got Charlie that's really good at, and probably others in here, but we need a whole gang of people checking on people. How are you doing? How's your neighbor doing? You know, I'm thinking of some of my neighbors that could come Friday night. You know, do I have enough nerve to go knock on their door and say, hey, this is what I'm doing? What's happening? God gives us resources such as finances, time, talent, spiritual gifts, and more. If for some reason you're unsure of what your resources, what He's entrusted to you, then ask. If that's where you're at tonight, if you're not sure what the gifts are, ask Him. Ask the Lord, what's the gift that you put in my heart, put in my life? When I first started our business, which was had to do with wood and building things like that, I didn't know, you know, I was doing something entirely different from that. And I started making, I think I made a fern stand. Maybe a little fern stand for somebody, and then somebody wanted me to build a crib, and I just blossomed by myself. I'm just going, wow, I like doing this stuff. It was a gift God had put in there. I didn't even know it was there. I'm frumping around like pig pen, going, well, life sucks. And God's going, no, you got this thing in you, this gift that I put there, and I'll show you how to do it. And it's latent in there. And a lot of us are going around and just thinking, well, you know, I'll just go to church and let Shane pump me up and I'll get through till Wednesday and then I'll... That's not what it's all about. We got to be ready. Because there's this... I don't know. I just feel like it's coming. And I don't think it's going to bombard us because God wants us to get ready for it. You know, you don't go play football and you never practice. You practice first, you know. You want to be a quarterback? Get out of the stands and go down there and work out. You don't just yell from the stands how to throw the football. All right?
True.
So, ask the Lord for wisdom on what you're to do and what your resources are and commit yourself to using them according to His will. Why? So that He can be glorified. That's what the whole thing's all about. You've got gifts. I don't know why I'm picking on you, Ron, but you got a gift. You're business right now. It may not be the only gift, but that's what you're doing right now. You know, I kind of had doubts about my gift from time to time, thinking, is this it? Maybe I'll get to that in a minute, but you start developing it. You start looking around. What else can I do with my gift? How can I bless somebody with my gift? How can I bring somebody into the business that's struggling out there and show him what to do, how to run his own business? And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes a guy cuts his thumb off and sues you. But anyway, that's another story. It took a little dive there, and you know. So Romans 12, 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use them in ministering. Somebody that teaches, be a teacher. Somebody that exhorts, be an exhorter. He who gives, give liberally. He who leads, lead with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. I'm sure there's more. Be thinking about what it is that God has gifted you with. Maybe it's wisdom. Maybe it's, you know, it could very well be. You know, some people come to you for wisdom, to bounce things off of you. And see if that's a direction to pray with you in that. prayer warrior. We've been given much, and God desires us to use what He's given us to further His kingdom and proclaim His glory. It's what we're created to do. In Matthew 16, 24 and 25 and 27. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We've heard that 100 times probably, but are we doing it? If anyone desires to come with me, then let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Then verse 27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. I want to be there when I get rewarded.
Yeah.
I want to have him come up and go, well done, good and faithful servant. Or is he going to come up to me and go, what have you been doing with those gifts? And what have you been doing? Well, I've been going to church on Sunday and Shane tells me what to do for the week. He's going, what? I've given you certain gifts, certain things in your life to use. What have you been doing with them? So, my original statement was how I'm becoming more and more aware of what's going on and around us. As the Lord prepares the church, Myrtle Creek, Douglas County, we need to be growing and being faithful, fruitful, where God has put us. So that gets me to what I really want to talk about is, if you're here, what are you doing with it? There's a quote credited to St. Francis de Sales. Sales? I don't know. French guy. Around 1600. Which he said, and this is where this came from. I thought it was scripture, but it's not. Bloom where you're planted. I thought God probably told the Israelites that, but he didn't. What he did say in Genesis, he said, be fruitful and multiply. How are we doing that? This is our calling, you guys. I like the bloom where you're planted because I can visualize that thing. And we know what multiply means. Being fruitful, what does that mean? With what we have, be fruitful with it. I believe God is requiring us to be fruitful, bloom where we're planted. Now, here's your cue back there. Ready, go. Can you see that? That's a buoy. And it's got a seagull on top. And it's got a bunch of seals resting on it. So, many, many years ago, we were down at the coast, and I think Janice and I were just getting our business going, and Justin was a little guy, and Janice and Justin had gone for a walk down that way. I think it was Winchester Bay. But I was sitting there, and right up above me was the lighthouse, wherever I was. And out here was a jetty that ran out into the ocean. And I'm just kind of taking that all in, and I can see some of the fishing boats come in, and once they got past that point there, all I could see was their masts going by. They were going into harbor there. And out further, not too far, I could see a buoy, just like that. I don't know if it was number 4, but it was a buoy. And I was just kind of marveling at the whole thing. The lighthouse back here is white. It's painted. It's taken care of. It's got a big beam that comes around, and people drive up there and they look at it and admire the thing. And I was asking the Lord, what am I? And I wasn't looking at the buoy. I was just thinking, what am I? What am I doing here? Maybe we should move. You know, we tried to move to Sisters. That fell through. We lived in Bend for a while. We were just, you know, where do you want us to be here, Lord? And how do I fit in? And it was right then, just the quiet words of the Lord. He says, you're just like that buoy out there. And I'm going, thanks. I can see the buoy. It's out there banging around. It's got seals on it, and it's got seagulls doing its business up there on top of me. And nobody comes over and paints me. Or like this guy behind me, this lighthouse is taken care of. It's groomed all around the bottom of it. It's painted and it's white. And I just kind of, when I heard that, I said, I'd rather be like that guy. If I'm going to be anything, I'd rather be a lighthouse. He said, no, you're a buoy. And the more I looked out there and kind of took in what I was looking at, there are other buoys positioned out there. And I don't, maybe some of you guys are go out in the ocean more than I do, but they're positioned out there for a reason. In certain spacing. And they're in it precisely the place that they need to be.
Right.
And some of them are foghorns. Those are loud, and that sound, you can hear that all over Coos Bay when those things are going, when it's foggy. And that was kind of the end of my deal right there, but I started thinking, how does that pertain to me? And I started thinking about it, about that buoy and how important that buoy is. This guy up on the hill is important for bringing him in for miles out there. The ships fishing boats or whoever it is, they can see that light. They know that's east. They're heading that way. But once they get pretty close, they've got to start tuning into exact positions. Otherwise, they're off the chart. They're going to crash. They're going to go on the wrong side of the jetty and hit the rocks or whatever. And I just kind of developed the whole thing myself. And I thought, well, that at the time we were going to a church in Eugene, and that's the pastor that brings them in. He's doing this. But once people get close, they need these guys. They need the buoys that they can touch bases with all the time.
Right.
See how that works? Because this lighthouse is, once you get, you know, half mile away, I mean, you know where east is. You're coming that direction. You know where that is. You just don't know where the jetty is. You don't know where that channel is. Now, these buoys are put in a particular place. And I realized that if that's me, and I wanted to move to Bend, I'm not going to be where I'm supposed to be. And there's somebody out there coming that's going to tune into my buoy position, and now I'm not there. I don't think anybody's going to let, God's not going to let everybody go to hell just because I'm an idiot, but he does want me to be where he wants me to be.
Right.
He put me there for a reason. And I went through all kinds of contortions with that, thinking, well, why didn't somebody come and paint the thing? Get those stinking seals off of there and, clean up the poop off the top of that seagull and take care of me. You know? I was kind of low on the totem pole. Well, those things are the workers. They're working all the time. They're out there banging around. When the sea's rough and it's foggy out there, you can hear those things banging around. They are so important. And that is what I feel is happening here. There's people out there, wherever they're at. They're on their way. They're lost, in need of a safe harbor, and they're going to tune in to maybe just like this guy that got saved the other day. He just wound up here. Well, how did he wind up here? Well, he wound up at a
bunch of buoys.
He just, about three or four of them, and wound up getting saved. And that's what God has got in mind. He's going to put us in positions, certain positions, to interrupt that lost person and say, hey, come on in. Here's a safe harbor for you. It's really important. I think one of the hard things about it, and I kind of added this, I was thinking about it afterwards, that one of the hardest things for me to hear is stay put. When, you know, as a kid, you're running around the church, stay. Just stay there, okay? Or your dog. You're trying to train your dog. Stay. It's one of those things that you don't really like to hear, particularly as an adult. You need to stay here. You need to just sit down and be quiet. Stay there. And the Lord was saying to me with that buoy, stay there. I want you to stay there. And I was just, you know, I'm like, I don't like hearing that. You can boss me around. I don't know. You can. But there's just something in you that kind of goes, I don't know about that. I can do what I want. I can go to Bend if I want. And we tried. We just ran into a wall over there. God said, I want you to stay. Now, here, why does he say that to us? I don't know if anybody's thinking about leaving. I don't think you are. But when he positions you in a particular place, he says, now stay there. It's just like a little kid. You know, you sit him down. Maybe you're about, what's a good idea? We're watching the Christmas parade out here. And it's dark and it's fun and everything, but we've got to keep an eye on the kids. And we don't want them running out in the traffic or anything. So you sit them down and give them some cookies and everything. Now stay there, because I don't want you out in traffic. Well, there's the reason. God says, I don't want you to get hurt. And I don't want other people to get hurt, because you're running around here with your head cut off. You're not where you're supposed to be. Now stay there. And I heard that in my spirit, kind of like a strict dad, and I don't think that was it. He was telling me to stay because it was for my good. Now stay there. And he's just like, stay there. And I'm just like, stay there, because it's so important, because I got somebody coming. He's like 100 yards away, and he's going to touch base with you right there. So, here's an example, a little bit. Acts 1:8. And the Lord is saying, he's talking to the disciples, and he's we all know this. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And he told them to stay there until that happens. Think about what if Bob was there, ready to, you know, there goes Jesus. He's out the door. I'm out of here, man. Nothing's happening. I would have missed it. God isn't going to let that happen with these guys, but I don't want to miss something that God is going to do next because I didn't stay put. And I'm not thinking about leaving, but spiritually, stay put, I guess. I don't want to miss what God is doing by mentally and spiritually being somewhere else at all. I want to be right there. I remember when we first got saved back in the crazy days when everybody's getting saved, and back in the 70s, the church that we happened to be going to was like that. We didn't want to miss a day. The doors are open, we're there. Because something's going to happen. We are expectant every time. And we didn't expect half the things to happen, but we were there because we expected something. And I think it was about that time when God was telling me to stay put. Look what you would have missed, Bob, if you would have, you know, been able to go wherever you wanted to go. So, that all kind of resonate a little bit? Kind of rabbit trailed there a little bit, but I'm just about done.
Well, I was thinking about the reverse of that. With Abraham and Sarah, when, you know, God gave them a promise, He gave them a plan, that this is what's going to happen. They took matters in their own hands, and they didn't necessarily leave, but they didn't stay the course. And look at the trouble the world has been in ever since.
Yeah. Because there's something about going that's more exciting than staying.
Yeah. The adventure.
It's an adventure. Hey, we're going to Eastern Oregon hunting. And God said, no, not this time. You're staying here. But think all the fun. We're sitting by a campfire. We're running through the things. We're going to get an elk over there. We're going to be over there by Davis Lake. You know, and God said, no. You're making this up.
Yeah.
But what if He says no? And what if you somebody, your uncle or something, leaves you a place in Kauai. Nice place. And it's all yours. And God said, no, stay here. Yeah, but I got to sell it. This is where I want you. And we would go, I can't even imagine what we'd go through right then. I can do that ministry over there just as good in my flip-flops and shorts.
That's right.
Can't I, Lord? No, right here. We would go through all kinds. Because going is much more exciting. We're packing, we're getting things going, we're getting organized and everything. God just said, stay there. And for me, I think that voice got a little bit more stern when I was waiting for Him to walk out the door. And I'm out of there, and He said, now stay there. Because you're going to miss what I'm doing if you leave. And other people are going to miss you when you're not there. And I'm not really talking about the physical places. I'm talking about spiritually. Where are you spiritually? Are you staying with the Lord? Are you walking with Him? Getting ready for being excited? Our Friday night things are... I think last Friday took a great turn because we wound up just laughing and carrying on for about half the time. It was just because we're getting to know each other. And we can joke with each other and jab each other a little bit. It was good. So that kind of ended this thing. When God asks us to stay, He is positioning us to further His kingdom. It's all not all about us. It's all about Him, right? To trust in His wisdom, to prepare us for more. And that's what it says. When you're doing what I want you to do with this, I'm going to require you to have more. I'm going to bring more on. And, you know, some of us that have fragile egos, we're afraid that more means more work. And what if we fail? And, you know, we go through all those gymnastics and we don't stay. But God said, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you. And it's important that you do this. To trust in His wisdom, to prepare us for more. And then back to what I was saying, to whom much is given. And I hope you know, we're not talking about dollars or property, but this, that spiritual wealth that you have. When much is given, much more will be required. And I just put down, it'd be a whole lot different if the disciples hadn't listened to that. They would have missed that whole thing. But the end of this thing is, He's given us much, right? Let's use the gifts He's blessed us with. Unless I said bloom where you're planted. I know that's not scriptural, but I like it. I can picture that. You're right there. This is where I'm at. I'm going to plant some flowers. I'm going to plant a fruit tree. Because I'm not leaving.
Right.
You know, if you're always looking out the door to take off, you're never going to plant anything. never going to take root, and your life is going to look like you're just about ready to leave all the time. And you get around people like that, and you really don't want to put your trust in that person because he's off to Kauai. He's got a place over there or something. So, be fruitful and multiply. That is scriptural. So what do you think?
I think that's
good. Good?
That's good.
So maybe that's something that we can apply, and wherever my buoy thing went, that's a good picture of who we are.
Yeah.
You know, we're workers and we're important out there. That happens to be a pretty calm little area right there, but you guys have probably all been to the coast when those buoys are banging around out there, just taking a beating. And God's saying, that's exactly where I want you to be.
What about when the sun isn't shining and the sea isn't calm and the whole place is socked in by fog and the waves are, the ocean is a little rough and all you can hear is the dong,
yeah,
of those, because they make noise.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So you know where they are. And that's, you want to talk about walking by faith or sailing by faith or whatever you're,
yeah.
And if you're not there that day,
yeah. And they're spaced far enough apart that you could get lost between here and there if you're not, if this one isn't there, if this is not working.
Yeah.
Especially those foghorns.
Yeah.
Those things. I've been out there like that with my crazy dad. We're going west, trying to go east. My dad says, "You have the compass?" "I don't have a compass." And you can't, when it's foggy like that, you don't know which way is up.
Everything looks the same.
And it's like this. It's just, oh God, seasick. But here comes the foghorn. And we were out far enough that, I think it's over here. We're alive. We can, and just to think of the spiritual ramifications of that. Somebody is going, I think it's over here. God's pointing somebody in the direction of a foghorn or a lighthouse or a buoy. I don't know which one you guys are, but I've been a buoy now for quite a while. I'm not a lighthouse. But what an honor, huh? That He's chosen us to be part of His kingdom to bring people in. Well, let's pray and thank the Lord for giving us a good word, I think. Father, we thank You for Your life in us, that You haven't given up on us, and even though we might have some seagull sitting on top and some seals and we're banging and looking a little shabby, You don't give up on us. You put us right exactly where You want us to be. And I would pray that You would reveal to us the importance of being where You position us. How important that is. Because we don't want to miss what You have coming. We don't want to walk out that door and miss the glorious things that You have in store for us. We're believing that You're bringing people in here. And not only for this church, we're just part of it. You're bringing life into Myrtle Creek. You're bringing life into Douglas County. Help us to be a lighthouse. Help us to be those buoys. Help us to be a light in darkness wherever we go. Lord, I pray for just anybody that can't be here tonight. We probably have some needs out there. We lift them all up to You, Lord, for Your hand to be upon them, Lord. Heal them up. We're not afraid to ask for healing. Just heal them up, Lord. It must be tiring for some folks just to be constantly bombarded. And we would stand firm in the name of Jesus against sickness in this place. We pray for your blood to be over us, your heavenly angels to be posted around about us. And we pray, Lord, for your peace, your healing, your salvation, your hope, your life to be in this place. Light us up with, and help us to be expectant in what you're going to do next here. And we give you the glory and the honor ahead of time, Lord. Amen.
Amen.